So far in this series, I've explained to you that every soul is desiring only God, and the Vedas tell us that this human birth is the only chance for a soul to find God. When a soul is born in any other species, we don't have the opportunity to perform karma or to attain God. So if we want to know God, we should try to do it now, before this human life ends, which we have no idea when it's going to end. However, Veda also told us, no one can know God, because how will you know God? With your senses and your mind. You'll perceive God with your senses, you'll know God with your mind. But your senses and mind cannot reach God, according to the Vedas. Why not? Because God is divine and your senses and mind are material. Very simple. God is the one who gives the power to your mind to think, gives the power to your senses to perceive. So how could they challenge that I could know God? No, a light bulb cannot challenge the powerhouse. So we have no way of reaching God. This is what the Vedas told us. But then they also told us that those who receive God's kripa, His grace, they can know God. Anyone who receives God's grace can know Him. There's no other qualification of IQ or status or anything. It doesn't matter who you are. If you get God's grace, you can know Him. This is how far we got yesterday when I brought up this question, that if knowing God is purely dependent on receiving His grace, then why has He not graced us yet? And should we just keep waiting for His grace and not do anything? Meaning, don't take any responsibility for ourselves. Just say, okay, Krishna, when you're good and ready to grace me, go ahead. And in the meantime, I'll just indulge in enjoying the world. So we took this idea and we looked at it thoroughly yesterday. That is it only on God? Is it His responsibility to grace us and we have nothing we can do? All we can do is wait. We took this idea a little further, made it a little more extreme in order to understand. And we said, what if God were the performer of all of our karma? Because that's kind of what we're saying. If we're saying, no, it's up to God, there's nothing I can do. That's a little bit like saying, well, everything is up to God. Some people think that my thoughts are not mine. God controls my thoughts. If I think something, it's because God made me think it. If I do something, it's because God made me do it. I know people, I meet people who think this. But this is a dangerous philosophy. It arises out of confusion because people know that the scriptures say God is the inspirer of all of every soul. So they think, oh, does that mean that He's telling us what to think and He's operating us like a puppet is operated by a puppeteer and we don't have any free will of our own? This is a dangerous philosophy because then you don't take any responsibility to improve yourself, and whatever actions you do, good or bad, you can just blame them all on God. So any kind of action could be justified according to this philosophy, this wrong philosophy. So I explained that you have to think about it logically. If God were the one controlling all of our karma, then samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priya gita. Krishna says, I treat everyone equally. None is hateful or dear to me. Everyone is equally my child. So if that were the case, and God is the one controlling all of our thoughts and actions, then wouldn't you want to ask God that, why do you make some of us do wrong actions and then we suffer because we have to receive the punishment for those wrong actions, And you make some people do good actions and they're rewarded. They get to go to Swarg and enjoy, or they get a good life in their next incarnation. And you even make some people do the karma that results in getting God realized. How unfair. If God were the one performing everyone's karma, wouldn't he at least make everyone do the same kind of actions? Either everyone does bad actions, or everyone does good actions, or everyone gets God realized. But it doesn't happen this way because he's not the one controlling our karma. We all have free will, and according to our own desires and decisions, we perform the actions. God gives us the power to perform actions. Like there's electricity running through the wires in this building. You can access it by plugging something into the socket. You could plug an AC unit in, or a refrigerator, or you could plug a heater in. Two opposite things. One makes it cold, one makes it hot. It has nothing to do with the electricity. The electricity is not responsible whether you use its power to heat this room or cool this room. It's your decision. Similarly, God gives life to every soul, and he gives power to the mind and senses and body to function. But we have free will, and we decide what to use that power for. So we can't hold God responsible for our actions. Thus, we can't hold him responsible for our God realization either. I'll get more to that in a minute. Before we do that, let's talk about one other place that people tend to put the responsibility and thus become complacent in terms of their actions or their own self-improvement. Some people would think then that, okay, if God is not controlling everything, then it must be controlled by destiny. My bhagya is good or my bhagya is bad. That's what's going to decide everything. They give some examples like Harinapi Harinapi Brahmanapi Surairapi Lalat Likhita Rekha Parimarshtum Nashakyate. That look at even Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, even they are bound by their destiny. No one can escape their destiny. So you're helpless. Don't even try, don't even bother. Everything's destined, so just sit back and relax. You see, and they give to prove their point, that you look at God Shiva. You see, he's got Ganeshji as his son. He's got Kuber, the celestial god of wealth, as one of his best friends. Yet, he himself doesn't even have a proper roof over his head or even have proper clothes to wear. Bichari. Must just be his destiny. You see, even God is bound by his destiny. Vishnu, he doesn't even have a proper bed to lie on. He has to lie on that snake, Sheshnag. Must be the destiny. You can't avoid your destiny. They give other examples like Abhimanyu. You see, Abhimanyu was destined to die in that Mahabharata war, even though he was so young. No one could save him. So, people want to find a reason not to do anything. So they say, okay, it's out of my hands. Every single thing in my life, including my thoughts and actions, are destined. All of my karma is destined. So there's nothing I can do. Now, if that were the case, we could make some of the same arguments as we did yesterday. If we weren't in control of our own actions, if we didn't have free will, then why would God do things like produce the Vedas, which tell us, do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that, this is right, this is wrong. Again, God could have just said, it's all controlled by destiny anyway. You have no free will, so why should I bother writing 100,000 mantras in the Vedas to give you guidance? Whatever's in your destiny, that's how you'll act and behave. Whatever words you're destined to speak, that's the words that will come out of your mouth. You have no control. You could have just written that. Bas chutti. What's the need to send saints in the world to guide us, to encourage us, to do good karma and to go towards God? No need for that. Again, they would have been helpless. Oh, you're all controlled by your destiny. There's nothing I can do to help you. There would have been no need for any of this. If someone makes this kind of assertion that everything is controlled by destiny, so you could ask them, where did that destiny come from? Destiny has to come from somewhere, right? Your bhagya. Did it just materialize out of thin air? Well, our scriptures say, purva janma kritam karma tad bhagya miti kathyate. Our bhagya or destiny comes from purva janma ka karma, our previous lives karma. That's where destiny comes from. So it means in your last life, when you did that karma, if you're being held accountable for it in this life, you must have had free will to perform that karma at that time, right? If you didn't have free will, it wouldn't be fair. You could argue that, why should I be punished for my wrong actions? It was just the destiny, it made me do it. So someone may say, no, 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 then you must have had free will in your last life in order to perform that karma. That's called purushart. When you perform free will actions, it's called purushart. So in order to create a destiny, you have to be able to perform purushart, free will actions. So this person may say, okay, then you must have had the ability to do that in your last life. But I don't have the ability to do it in this life? What sense does that make? Maybe it only started 4 or 5 lifetimes ago. If we're just, we can just make it random. From eternity until now, we never had any free will, and then we started having free will, what, 4 lives ago, 5 lives ago, and that created our destiny. Where did our destiny come before that? It means if we have a destiny, it means we have a free will. The destiny is created out of our free will actions. And if we have a free will in this life, we must have had a free will in the last life. And the one before. And the one before. It means we've always had free will. We've always been able to perform purushartha whenever we've been born as a human. And thus we've always had a destiny. But how does that destiny work? If you're saying, okay, I have free will and I have a destiny, how does that make sense? Someone might think, either I have free will or I have a destiny. How can I have both? If I have free will, I can do what I want. I can make my own decisions. I have independence to think and say and act. If I have a destiny, it must mean everything is controlled. And I don't have free will. No, this is not the case. Karmanam sanchita dinam jivo dhinas tathapi svatantra kriyamane vai krito bhagavata vida. A saint says, you have both. You're bound by your destiny and you have free will. You are adhin to your destiny, but you are swatantra to perform new karma. How does this work? To understand how that works, just understand that karma is divided into 3 types. One is kriyaman karma. Kriyaman karma is the karma you're performing in this life. Meaning that currently, as we sit here in this moment, you have free will to think whatever you want, say whatever you want, do whatever you want. One of you could just stand up and start yelling right now in the middle of my speech. You have free will. You could do it. So you have the power. You have the free will. You're swatantra. This is kriyamanta. Every moment we're thinking, possibly saying, possibly doing something, but definitely thinking. So we're doing some karma, some kriyaman karma, every moment. And God, who's sitting in here, he keeps track of that. The other kind of karma, karma number two, is sanchit karma. Sanchit karma is the total accumulation of all the actions we've done in all of our past lifetimes. Because God is keeping track, so it's like a stock of past actions. We've had, since we're eternal, we've had unlimited, infinite lifetimes. And if you're thinking something every moment, then imagine how many karma you're performing every day. There's probably too many karma to count even in an hour. Then add that up over a whole day, add that up over a whole year, over a whole lifetime. You perform an uncountable number of karma, even in one life. And you've lived unlimited lifetimes. So it means you have an unlimited stock of sanchit karma. This is the second kind. Kriyaman karma is the first kind that you're doing right now. As we speak, you're performing kriyaman karma. Even listening is a karma. Now, number three is called prarabdha karma. This is your destiny, bhagya. This prarabdha, it's a part of that sanchit karma which is given to you to undergo in this life. Undergo means undergo the consequences of. All of that karma that Krishna has been keeping track of, he's also been classifying it according to the intention behind the karma. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it devotional? So he classifies it, categorizes it. And accordingly we get the results. Bad actions result in suffering, good actions result in prosperity and well-being, and devotional actions result in more spiritual opportunities in the next life. But, since we're performing so many karma, like I said, an uncountable number of karma every day, so it adds up to so much that you can't get all the results of your karma from the last life in this life. You know, let's say you lived for 50 years in your last life and you did so much karma. Someone might think, okay, then if I live for 50 years in this life, I'll get the results of all the karma I did in the 50 years I lived in my last life. Impossible. Because it takes longer in most cases to get the results than to perform the karma. Let's say someone does some crime. He breaks into somebody's house, steals all their electronics and valuables. So that whole crime that he does, it might take him 1 hour to do that. But if he's caught, he might go to jail for several years. If someone murders someone else, that crime takes a moment. He might go to jail for the rest of his life for that. So you see, the karma takes a short time. Getting the result of the karma takes a longer time. So it's not possible to get all the results from the karma you do in the past life immediately in the next life. So this is why the sanchit karma keeps growing. Even if we stopped performing new karma, no more kriyaman karma today, this moment, God just put a stop to it. He said, let's try to clear everybody's slate. How about you all stop doing kriyaman karma? I'm not going to count whatever you're doing. It's not going to count for anything. But you keep living so that you can keep getting the results of your sanchit karma, and we'll clear all that out. Because when you get the result, then that karma is vaporized, nothing left. Once you get the result, it's not left anymore in that stock of sanchit karma. So you stop doing kriyaman karma and just bhogo, bhogo, bhogo. Get all the results of good actions, get the nice results, get all the suffering from the bad actions. Even if you kept doing that for infinite more lifetimes, there would still be an infinite stock of sanchit karma left, because infinity minus infinity equals infinity. If you have an unlimited stock of something, even if you remove unlimited amount from that, you still have unlimited left over. So you can never run out. You can never get rid of your sanchit karma. It's too much. It's unlimited. So that sanchit karma is there, and we keep adding to it in every life. We do more kriyaman karma, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. And out of that sanchit karma, we get a little bit of that to undergo as our destiny in this life. Now, how does that destiny intertwine with our free will? Because we do have free will, but we also have destiny. You can understand it like this. Although the whole theory of karma is extremely complex, I'm just simplifying it here so we can have a practical understanding. Think of it this way. The things we do, say, and think, those are never controlled by destiny. That's our free will. We're responsible for our thoughts, for our words, and for our karma, our actions. Then what's left for destiny? The things that happen to us. The things that happen to us that are out of our control, those things are destined. Sometimes people call it good luck, bad luck. Oh, the world is happy with me. The universe is angry with me. Whatever they may think, it's actually the destiny. Hani labh jivan marana yash apyash vidhihath. In the Ramayana, it's described that the destiny controls things like your birth. That wasn't your decision. Nowadays, with this philosophy of karma has trickled down into Western culture as well, and a lot of people who are drawn towards spirituality, they learn about something about karma, but it's often in a twisted way, meaning it's not in its pure original form. So a lot of people have this idea that we choose our mother and father, that the soul before it's born thinks, oh, these are the lessons I want to learn in this life, so I'm choosing these parents, I'm choosing to be born in this situation. No, there's no choice at that point. You have the choice now. You want a nice mother and father, nice family, nice living situation in your next life. Now's when you have to choose. Do good karma. Then you'll get all that in your next life. You don't choose at the time right before you enter your mother's womb. No, no, no. By then, the choice has already been made for you. It's controlled by destiny. Of course, destiny is not a power that can operate on its own. God has to enable all of this to happen. So you can say God is doing it. But how is he doing it? According to our karma. Exactly according to our karma. In like an automatic way. No additions or subtractions, just like a computer operates. If you have it set up to run some equations and you just give the input, these are the numbers, and it gives the output, this is what it equals. Same thing. The input is our karma, the output is our destiny. Happens automatically. One way to think of it is, let's say there was a woman named Urmila Sharma. That's what she was called growing up. And then when she got older, she got married, So then her name became Urmila Tripathi. She got a new name because she got married. Now let's say she writes a letter home back to her old friend from school who used to know her, and she signs the letter Urmila Tripathi. Now her friend sees the letter and thinks, who's that? Who's that? Oh yeah, yeah, it's that my friend from childhood. She was called Urmila Sharma, and now she must have gotten married, so she's called Urmila Tripathi. Something like that, the karma we do now, it comes back to us again in the next life. It just has a new name. Then we call it destiny, bhagya, prarabdh. But it's the same thing, just with a new face. That's all. Just like, let's say you change school districts. So you take your transcripts with you. Let's say you had graduated from 6th grade. So when you go to the new school district, you give them your transcripts and you get admission to the 7th grade. You don't start again from pre-kindergarten. So it's the same thing with our karma. It's all perfectly preserved and we get the results of it exactly in the next life. We don't recognize it, just like that friend didn't recognize, who is this Urmila? Oh yeah, it's that one. She just has a new name. So in this life, we call it Purusharth. It's our free will actions. In our next life, it's called Bhagya. That's it. In this life, it's called Kriyaman Karma. In the next life, it's called Prarabdha Karma. But it's the same action, the same thought we had in this life, or word we spoke, that becomes our destiny in our next life. Of course, based on the intention, the quality of that thought, the intention behind our actions. So our birth, that's controlled by our destiny according to the past life's actions. Where are you born? In what country? In what family? In what religion? Born poor? Born rich? What kind of a body do you get? Are you born as a man, as a woman? Are you born with the kind of genetics that are going to make you strong, with a brain which is wired to make you highly intelligent? All of this, a scientist would say, it's according to your genetics. And Vedas will say, yes it is, but how did you end up with that genetics? It's not dumb luck. It's according to the destiny. It's exactly controlled by the destiny. So you got these chromosomes, you got this DNA, you got this genetics because of your past life's actions. These are your parents, you got this brother and sister, you were born into this house. All of that is controlled by the destiny. That's jivan, maran. Tulsidas ji says jivan maran. The time of death is also controlled by destiny. From the moment we're born, it's already decided how long are we staying in this body. And we just move towards that fixed point in our future, which is the predetermined time of death. Hani and lab means financial loss and gain. It's also, for a great part, controlled by the destiny. Not the coming and going of every single penny. Obviously, you have control over the movement of your funds. You decide, you know, to invest in this or to, you know, what to do with your money. You decide. But what is the success of your efforts? How much return you get on your investment? Does your business succeed or not? That's destiny. And that any business person can accept if they honestly look at it. If they look beyond themselves and compare to everybody who's trying to get ahead, trying to get rich, trying to have a successful business. So Donald Trump may say, No, I'm this rich because I'm smart and I work hard. You mean out of, okay, I can take you and let's go around the world and let's find, I bet I can find thousands and thousands of people who are smarter than you and work harder than you and they're not as rich as you. I bet we could. It's the destiny. If that money is not destined to come, there's no way it can come. Even if you go to Treasure Island or go to the bottom of the sea, and if it's destined to come, you can't avoid it. Even if you're stranded on a desert island, that money will come to you one way or another. But it's a result of what charity we did in our last life. You did more good sattvic charity in your last life, you'll get more wealth in this life. You were more stingy, you had money in your last life, but you didn't do it, you didn't use it to help others. Then you get the result in this life. So having money or not is destined. What you do with the money is not destined. You can put it this way. You are destined to have enough money to buy clothes in this life. What clothes you buy, that's up to you. Totally up to you. Do you buy a blue shirt? Do you buy a red shirt? That's not destined. Some people think, oh, every little thing in my life is destined. I was destined to wear these clothes today. No, you weren't. You were destined to have enough money to be able to buy clothes. What clothes you buy and choose to wear, that's up to you. So our major financial loss and gain is controlled by destiny. That doesn't mean that you should decide, okay, then why should I work? Why should I break my back working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week? I'll just sit on the couch and watch TV, and if the money's destined to come to me, it will. That may be true. However, what's the result of that? You see, that's an immature way of looking at it. That's an ignorant way of looking at it. It means you're only looking at this life. And not just this life, it means you're only looking at the outer thing, you're not looking at the inner thing. The correct way to practically apply this philosophy is to understand, oh, so the outer things are destined. Having more money or less money is destined. But my thoughts are not destined. So it means I should concentrate more on improving myself on the inside and not worry so much about the outside. So how do you improve yourself on the inside? For now, let's leave aside devotion because that's almost like cheating. Okay, doing bhakti purifies your heart very quickly and brings up all the good qualities. Let's leave that aside. Let's just talk about good or bad actions. Doing sattvic actions improves the sattvic quality of your mind and, of course, results in a better destiny in your next life as well. So you're improving yourself inside in this life and you're improving your destiny for your next life. If you just sit on the couch and do nothing, what are you doing? You're not improving yourself on the inside in this life, and you're not going to get anything good in the next life either. So it's a very short-sighted view. You're thinking, okay, whatever wealth I have or I have coming to me in this life, it's going to come, so let me just enjoy that and forget about the rest. Well, that would be a mistake, because you'll pay for that mistake in the next life. You're actually supposed to try to make money. Why? So you can do charity. I mentioned that early on in this series, that arth, the pursuit of wealth, is meant to be for one reason, for doing dharma. A person is supposed to try to get wealth so that they can do more good actions, do more charity, use their wealth for doing dharma. So if you don't, if you say, no, I'm not pursuing arth, then it means you don't want to have the money to help others. So you're supposed to try to get more money, to do more charity and help others. So it's a good way of being greedy. But the other thing that the other practical application of this is, okay, now you're going to keep trying, you're going to keep having effort. I'm not going to quit my job and sit on the couch. I'm going to pursue my business. I'm going to work at my job. But since I know ultimately how much money I'm going to get or not, it depends on my destiny, then why should I try to cheat someone to get money? I'm only hurting myself. In the short term, I think, oh good, I wouldn't have gotten this money if I didn't cheat him. I'm so glad I cheated that person. And in the long term, meaning your next life, you'll be cheated because of that. You'll suffer accordingly. So the fact is, you would have gotten that money whether you cheated the person or not. At some point, it evens out. Somewhere in your life, that money would have come to you. If it was destined to come, it will come whether you cheat that person or not. But now what you've piled on to that is you did cheat that person, so now you have to get that result, some suffering from that in your next life. So what's the use of doing that? That's the correct application of this philosophy. Oh, my financial situation is predestined? Okay, so I'm going to have faith in that, and I'm just going to do good actions, and even if it means I think I'm going to suffer a loss, that if I don't lie to this person, I'm going to suffer a loss here in my business. Take the chance. You might suffer a loss in the short term. It evens out in the long term according to your destiny. You think you can improve your wealth by cheating and lying. In the long term, it doesn't work out. It will even out according to whatever is in your destiny. So better to protect yourself from the consequences you're going to have to face in the future and lead an honest life and have faith that God is going to just give you whatever's in your destiny when it comes to your wealth. Same thing with yash and apayash. Yash meaning to be famous or to be well liked, to be popular. And apayash, to have a bad name. Of course, everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants people to appreciate them. And nobody wants to get a bad name. Nobody wants to be disliked. But this is also controlled by our destiny. You know, again, you could take an example. You could find so many examples of good people in the world who are falsely accused or who get a bad name. And you can find so many examples of bad people in the world who are revered or, you know, everybody thinks they're good, they're famous, everybody likes them. There are so many examples, and the good person who gets a bad name, he complains. I never did anything bad in this life. God, why are you making me suffer? Look at that person, my neighbor, he's so bad and everybody thinks he's good. Why do I have to suffer? Well, it's because of your past life's actions. You are good in this life, but you have an unlimited stock of sanchit karma. So out of that stock, you are undergoing the consequence of something bad you did. And he's undergoing the consequence of something good he did. That's why he has a good name or he's famous in this life. People say the same thing with money or something bad happens to them. Someone close to them is hurt. God, how could you do this to me? I've been so good my whole life. I've been doing devotion to you, doing your puja. I don't even lie. Why are you making me suffer? It's because of the past life's actions, not this life. You'll get the results of this life's actions in your next life. Although you get the mental consolance that we feel when we do something good immediately. That result you get immediately. And if you do a wrong action, you feel the guilt immediately. So that part you get right away. You suffer by doing wrong actions internally, and you feel happy doing good actions internally, We get that right away. But the physical consequence that something good happens to you or something bad happens to you, that comes in the future. So, what I mean to say is, again, take a practical example. In the workplace, sometimes people feel like, I have to try to protect my good name, meaning some people lie, try to get ahead, take credit for other people's work, that kind of thing. You know, if you're going to get credit, you're going to get credit. It's in your destiny. If you're going to rise higher, if you're going to become famous, people are going to like you, it's going to happen. It's in your destiny. And if it's not in your destiny, there's nothing you can do to change it. So what I mean is, you don't have to lie and cheat and try to climb over others in order to rise in that regard. Again, you're only harming yourself by creating this bad karma that you're going to have to face in the future. Better just to have faith that whatever yash or upyash is coming my way, I'll just take it and deal with it. But I'm not going to do any bad karma in order to try to get more yash. Kripaluji Maharaj always says, instead of trying to become good, instead of actually expending energy to improve ourselves, we spend all of our energy trying to make others think we're good. We don't actually want to become good, we just want everybody to think we're good. So the one who understands this philosophy, he says, it doesn't matter whether other people think I'm good or not, I want to become good. Because Krishna sees what's in our heart. This is how the destiny functions. Certain things in our outer life are destined. What's destined can't be changed. Avashyameva bhoktavyam kritam karma shubha shubham. Garur Puran. Na bhuktam chiyate karma kalpakotishatairapi. Garur Puran. Everyone must undergo the consequences of their past good and bad actions. There's no way around it. The difference is, how do we handle that destiny when it comes to us? The destiny can't be avoided. How do we handle it when it comes? Jnani bhugate jnanate murakh bhugate roya. The one who correctly understands the philosophy, he takes everything as it comes, the good, the bad. He doesn't get too excited when something good happens because he knows something bad is probably right around the corner. And he doesn't get depressed when something bad happens because he knows, oh, it's just the destiny, I have to live with it. I'm sure something good will happen eventually. He takes the good and the bad and remains even on the inside. And the one without this understanding gets excited when something good happens, and then he falls into a depression when something bad happens. So whatever is destined, it has to happen to us. How we react to that destiny, that's up to us, because we have free will to think what we want, say what we want, do what we want. Always keep that in mind. Something bad might be happening to you, but how you respond to that situation is your free will. The money came to you because it was destined. What you do with it is up to you. Totally in your hands. And that will determine what kind of a life you get in the next life. So in this way, it's all intertwined and working together. We have the sanchit karma, we have the prarabdh karma, and at the same time we have the free will in order to perform kriyaman karma. And it all works together. It's extremely complex if you look at each individual detail, but luckily we don't have to do that. God takes care of that. We just have to understand mote taur par so that we know how are we supposed to behave in this world. How we have enough knowledge now to apply this philosophy towards our behavior in the world. So, now we understand that our actions are not controlled by destiny, nor are they controlled by the will of God. We have free will. Let me give you one more example from a spiritual point of view. Because this is what we're talking about, knowing God. Is knowing God controlled by God? Or is it controlled by our destiny? Or is it controlled by us? So someone may say, well, God realization is just controlled by the destiny. What can I do? Or God realization is controlled by God. When He wants to grace me, He'll grace me. Then what can I do? It's not in my hands. So here's how you understand it. Let's say we're talking about hearing this speech tonight. So you might be thinking, oh, this is valuable information. I'm so glad I got to hear this. Was it my free will to come here tonight? Or was it the grace of God that I got to come here? Or was it in my destiny that I was to be here tonight? It was a combination. When it comes to spiritual things, you can say the grace of God and the destiny, it kind of works together, because God graces souls to get opportunities to progress spiritually. So let's say somebody saw a flyer advertising this program, and because they saw that, so they came. You can say that getting that flyer in their hand and finding out about the program, that was God's grace. Or that was their destiny. Either they were destined to find out about the program, or God graced them to have this opportunity to gain this knowledge, but God didn't control their mind and make them come to the program. Their destiny didn't control their thinking, so that they said, no, I'm not staying home and watching TV tonight, or I'm not going out to the movies tonight, I'm going to the mandir to listen to that pravachan. Their destiny didn't control their thinking, and neither did God. God did that much that He arranged the flyer should come into that person's hand. They have the opportunity now. They have to make the decision to come here. So you see how the two work together. God can provide us opportunities for spiritual improvement, but we have to make the decision to take advantage of them. Same thing with going to our main ashram in Texas, Radha Madhav Dham, or going to India to take part in one of the intensives at one of our ashrams there. A lot of people say, oh, when God calls me, I'll go. If I invite someone, why don't you come for our winter family camp? Why don't you come for this devotional intensive? Someone may say, Jab Bhagwan bulayenge, jab Bhagwan bulayenge, tab main jaunga. What does that mean? What does he have to do to call you to come? Does he have to first call your boss and arrange for the time off, then log on to Expedia.com and book your flight, then send you an email, Radhe Radhe, this is Krishna speaking. I have arranged for your vacation time, and I also booked your flight, and I also called Radha Madhav Dham and made your room reservation. Okay, ab jaoge? Does he have to take it to that point? No. You see, what he does is he arranges that places like that should exist in the world. First of all, and second of all, that you find out about such places. But going there is on you, is not on him. You have to make the effort to arrange for the vacation and buy the plane ticket. You have to decide, okay, I'm going, this extra money I have, I'm going to use that Instead of buying a new TV, I'm going to use that on a plane ticket to go to this ashram. So all of those decisions you have to make. Krishna provides the opportunities. That's it. He's already gracing us with all of that. People say, oh, jab kripa hogi, tab main jaunga. Kripa ho rahi hai. Ab aap kripa karo, apne upar jao. So this is how it all works together. God's grace, the destiny, and our free will. They're all simultaneously doing their thing. But the main point is that the responsibility we have is for our own thoughts, our own words, our own actions. And when it comes to the path to God, our spiritual progress is in our hands. So it again brings us back to the same question. When Vedas are saying, you need God's grace in order to know God, it means there has to be something we're not doing in order to receive His grace. If it were up to Him, don't you think He would grace us? If He could grace us to make us go to Radha Madhav Dham, or if He could grace us to make us become God realized, don't you think He would have done that long ago? So if we haven't received His grace, and if we haven't known Him, if we haven't attained Him, then we haven't received His grace. Then it means we're not doing something. There has to be some condition which must be fulfilled in order to receive God's grace. So those souls who became saints in the past, those who were able to know God, Meera, Tulsidas, Surdas, Vallabhacharya, Guru Nanak, Tukaram, all these great saints, they must have fulfilled that condition, thus they received God's grace, and through His grace they were able to know Him. So what is that condition that must be fulfilled? We will find out tomorrow. बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की जय.